Blog Talk Radio.
Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. That was our very own Blog Talk Mom. Tonight, we're going to go to the women's devotional look at Eve. We're going to do a series from women in the Bible. We want to thank you all that told us what you thought of last week's show. We had a lot of comments about our last caller. This show is one where we want to hear from everyone and anyone as long as they remember to keep their language clean, as this is a family show. There were a couple of things that we wanted to share here for our regular listeners. Caller did not listen to all of the show, as he didn't call in till the very end. So his agenda was never to talk about the topic of the show. He first started talking and asking what our basis was for thinking we were right compared to other Christian religions, while Bill tried to use scripture to respond. And then the caller expanded this to other Christian religions. It was at that point that we realized the question was more about faith than the Bible, that the Bible was the inspired word of God. We have a show in our archives that shares how we feel the King James Version of the Bible is the best to use. And there are a lot of information in that show, including about the changes that was made to the King James Version. But unlike people try to say, these changes did not change the meaning from one version to the other. Our caller was very intelligent, but even though the name of Jesus was not given in the Old Testament, there are several scriptures in the Old Testament that Jesus and only Jesus fulfilled. I hope our caller calls in again, but wish that he would speak to the topic of the discussion of the show. We would welcome him to come and do a show for us on his topic of the world religions and how you decide which one is correct. But we ask that he allow people to post questions and comments at the end of the show, like we do for everyone else. People of faith should not be afraid to be tested on their own faith. And tonight we have a show on Eve from a women's devotional program. Our shows have been getting longer and longer, but this show is shorter to give more time for discussion. So let's have a listen.
Eve. Her name means life-giving or mother of all who have life. Her character. She came into the world perfectly at peace with her God and with her husband, the only other person on the planet. She lived in paradise, possessing every pleasure imaginable. She never knew the meaning of embarrassment, misunderstanding, hurt, estrangement, envy, bitterness, grief, or guilt until she listened to her enemy and began to doubt God. Her sorrow, that she and her husband were banished from paradise and the presence of God, and that her first son was a murderer, and her second son his victim. Her joy, that she had once tasted paradise, and that God had promised that her offspring would eventually destroy her enemy. Key scriptures: Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31, and Genesis 2 through 4. Monday, her story. The woman stirred and stretched, her skin soft and supple as a newborn's. One finger, then another, moved in gentle exploration of the ground that cradled her. She could feel a warmth filling her, tickling her throat as it tried to escape, spilling out in the strong, glad noise of laughter. She felt surrounded, as though by a thousand joys, and then a touch calmed her without diminishing her joy. Her eyes opened to a brightness, her ears to a voice, and then a smaller voice, echoing an elated response, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Adam took hold of her, and their laughter met like streams converging. The man and the woman walked naked and unashamed in paradise. No shadows filled Eden, no disorder, discord, or fear. Then one day a serpent spoke to the woman. "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman listened. She remembered the brightness, the voice of God that had filled her with joy. Could she really be like God? Pressed hard by desire, she took the fruit and then shared it with her husband. Suddenly darkness spread across Eden. It came not from the outside, but from within, filling the man and the woman with shadows, cravings, and misery. Order gave way to disorder, harmony to discord, trust to fear. Soon Adam and Eve heard the sound of their Creator walking in the garden, and they hid.
"Where are you, Adam?" God called.
"I heard you in the garden," Adam replied, "and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Sin had driven its wedge inside their hearts, and God banished them from Eden, pronouncing judgment first on the wily serpent that had tempted the woman, and then on her and on her husband. To the serpent's curse, he added this promise:
"I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
To the woman, God said,
"I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you."
Then God warned Adam that after a lifetime of hard labor, his strength would decrease until his body would finally be wrapped in the dust from which God had formed him. The curse of death fell suddenly upon the new world. So Adam and his wife were forced to flee paradise, and Adam named her Eve, because she would be the mother of all the living. But her firstborn, Cain, became a murderer, and her second son, Abel, his victim. As the years passed, sorrow chased sorrow in the heart of the first woman, and the last we see of her, we imagine her not as a creature springing fresh from the hand of God, but as a woman in anguish, giving birth to another child. Her skin now stretches like worn canvas across her limbs. Her hands claw the stony ground, grasping for something to hold on to, for anything to ease her pain. She can feel the child inside, filling her, his body pressing for a way of escape. The cries of mother and child meet like streams converging, and Seth is born. Finally, with her child cradled against her breast, relief begins to spread across Eve's face. With rest, her hope returns, a smile forms, and then, finally, laughter rushes from her lips. Try as she might, she cannot stifle her joy, for she remembers the brightness and the voice and the promise God gave. Sooner or later, despite many griefs, her seed would crush the serpent. In the end, the woman would win.
Tuesday, Her Life and Times. Childbirth. Eve was the first woman to conceive a child, the first to harbor a fertilized egg in her womb. Did she understand the miracle taking place within her as her belly swelled and her child began to move? Did she know the wonder of love for a child yet unborn? The Bible doesn't give us those answers, but it does tell us that Eve recognized that life was in God's control. At Cain's birth, she exclaimed, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Genesis 4:1. God's judgment on Eve, "With pain you will give birth children," was no doubt exactly what Eve experienced in birthing this first child. It's the process we appropriately term labor. Eve likely bore the pain and went through the entire birth with only Adam's help. Later, Hebrew women had the help of experienced midwives, who knew remedies for common delivery difficulties. Midwives' responsibilities after the birth included cutting the umbilical cord, washing the newborn, rubbing it with salt for cleansing, and then wrapping it in swaddling clothes. The birth stool, referred to in Exodus 1:16, was probably a low stool on which the mother-to-be squatted, allowing the force of gravity to aid in the birth process. The midwife, and possibly other close relatives, held the mother's hands to give comfort as well as stability as she bore down. Women throughout the centuries have borne the results of Eve's sin. Their pain in childbearing unites them in a common bond of an experience shared. The experience is an unusual combination of the earthly and at the same time the unearthly. The pains, the panting, the mess and disorder connected with the birth of a child are of the earth, of Eve herself. But what is brought forth and the bond experienced between the mother and the child is unearthly, something only the creator of life could forge. Wednesday, her legacy in Scripture. Read Genesis 2, verses 18 through 25. Contemplate the following questions. 1. What needs does Adam have that only a woman can fulfill? 2. What does being one flesh in a marriage mean, both physically and spiritually? Read Genesis 3, verses 1 through 24. Contemplate the following questions. 3. As the serpent tries to tempt Eve, what desires and fears in her does he appeal to? 4. What desires and fears make you vulnerable to temptation? 5. When caught after her sin, how does Eve experience each of the following? Shame, blame, pain. Thursday, her promise. Embedded in the very curse put on Eve for her sin is a wonderful promise. God promises her and succeeding generations, you will give birth to children. Genesis 3:16. God's grace and mercy are marvelously evident. Even when he's pronouncing his judgment, he promises that the human race will continue, even as he announces that death will now be inevitable. Throughout Scripture, God's grace is often most beautifully evident within his judgments. When the world was so full of sin that he had to destroy it, God's grace saved Noah and his family. When the Israelites rebelled so thoroughly that captivity was inevitable, God's grace promised restoration. When judgment fell on David for his sin with Bathsheba, God's grace gave them Solomon as a son and successor. When you are at your lowest, on your knees before God's judgment, never forget that his grace is still at work, and that is truly amazing. Promises in Scripture. John 1:16 says, from the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. Romans 5, verses 20 through 21 says, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friday, her legacy of prayer. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Reflect on Genesis 2, verses 15 through 25, and Genesis 3. Praise God, because he created you in his own image, making you a woman capable of reflecting his love, truth, strength, goodness, wisdom, and beauty. Offer thanks that embedded in God's judgment of Adam and Eve is the promise of a Redeemer who will crush the head of our enemy, the devil. Confess your own tendency to mar God's image in you by preferring your will to his. Ask God to help you surrender your life so that he can fulfill his purpose for creating you. Lift your heart. Find a peaceful setting, surrounded by the beauty of creation, to meditate on what life must have been like in the Garden of Eden. Think about what your life would be like if you experienced peace in all your relationships, if you never suffered physical or emotional pain, if you were never confused
or ashamed or guilty, if you always experienced God's love and friendship. Let your imagination run riot as it fills in the details of God's original intention for your life and for those you love. Then consider this. You were made for paradise. The joys you taste now are infinitesimal compared to those that await you in heaven. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Let us pray. Father, give me a greater understanding of your original plan for our world. Help me to envision its beauty so I might live with a constant awareness that you intend to restore paradise to all who belong to you. May I surrender every sin and every sorrow to you, trusting that you will fulfill your purpose for my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying,
Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
And the Lord God said,
It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said,
This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman,
Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
And the woman said unto the serpent,
We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
And the serpent said unto the woman,
Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him,
Where art thou?
And he said,
I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
And he said,
Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
And the man said,
The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the woman,
What is this that thou hast done?
And the woman said,
The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent,
Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Unto the woman he said,
I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
And unto Adam he said,
Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. And the Lord God said,
Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever.
Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said,
I have gotten a man from the Lord.
And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Well, that was a devotional look at Eve from the Bible. On top, Mom?
Well, how about that? That's a different approach for Wild Bill and for the Blog Talk program, isn't it?
Well, I thought it was. I thought it was, enlightening.
It's very interesting.
Some of that stuff.
Especially on, like, Mother's Day, several times in the last few years, I've been privileged to hear some ladies speak on the women in the Bible, and they were excellent. Mm-hmm. I mean, they brought out the role that women have played, well, naturally, all the way from the garden, and they brought it out in a way that it inspires us in this generation to do the very best that we can, that God will be glorified in our lives. And that's one of the reasons that, this may sound funny, but that I really appreciate Pentecostal churches and ladies, because they do, overall, they're modest. There's a submissive spirit according to the Word of God. They're very active. I know that you, Sister Starla, have cleaned churches and worked in fundraisers and taught Sunday school classes, just any and everything that has been needed all along. You've been very, very active. And that's beautiful. That's the helpmeet that God said that we should be. And I think you're just one of the top of the line. You're the best.
Grace and mercy of God, that, you know, you have to have a heart to do that. And, you are an awesome example. Very hard to live up to. Bill?
Yeah, this was a little bit different, especially, you know, copying this from a devotional program. But I really like to look at the whole breakdown of it. I never really thought about what it was like for the woman to be her first day, to be formed from a man, fully grown, and experiencing all the creation that God gave for us. And even though we, you know, so many times we look at Adam and Eve, and all we want to talk about is the sin in the garden, that I loved how they brought out on here the promise God didn't leave them without a promise that they were going to overcome, that it was going to, you know, that through their children, that it was going to happen. And, you know, in this day and time, it's so easy to look at all the negatives around us from the curse of sin and just totally forget that God didn't plan for this to be our relationship with the earth or with Him. That curse of sin, what all it did. But then again, even with us, He made a way of escape. And even though the first sacrifice was made right there with the blood that was shed and the skin covering from them, which developed a pattern, and God is the pattern that God has is not always clear to us as to why He established the pattern He did, but He's God. And though He made a blood pattern of what it took to put sin off from one year to the next, then where He became that sacrifice for us, where we can be baptized in His name and have total remission of our sins. And then He didn't leave us without a comforter to give us power so that we could be witnesses to Him, so we could be more than an overcomer, so that we, you know, would lead and guide us into all truth for those that are hungry and are willing to have it. And just like the song, you know, all sheep, you know, we've gone astray, but that promise is there that if you're the one that's missing and God's got 99 in the fold, He places enough value on you that He'll leave the 99 with all the promises, all the weapons, all the tools, everything He's given them to stand on their own with the power of the Holy Ghost, and then He will come to the aid of that one sheep. And so the beautiful story that was established, a pattern that was established right there in the garden. So many times we just want to look at the negative, like why in the world, how things could be different if they hadn't done this. And what was it? I heard someone say one time, if frogs had wings, they wouldn't bump the rear end when they hopped, but they don't have wings. And we can't go back and say, what if, and what, you know, if they hadn't done this. What we can do is we can seek God with an open heart. We can listen for that voice of the shepherd calling, and we can respond, and He will come, and He will lift us up higher than we could ever be expected to be lifted within ourselves, and He will fill that void within us of what's missing. He will give us a hope that's not in the things of this world, but it's in a better world, in a better relationship that God has promised and He's created for us, because His promises are yea and amen. And anything else that comes against the promises of God, the Bible lets us know that anything that comes against His word is a liar. But His word is true. He's watching over His word to perform it in the lives of people. It's not just meant to be words that you read. It's not a magic formula or something like that. It's meant to be something that we do. It's an action thing, the relationship with God. It's not a theory of something like we were, you know, trying to explain to the man last week of something that we believe. It's something that we have an assurance of and know. We have to have faith in the Word of God, but when we reach out in faith to the Word of God, what do we find? We find God. And what happens? He finds us. And then it all starts the beautiful relationship of what God's always intended to have with His creation. So, and then I just had to end it with actually the reading from the Bible. And that was the dramatized version of the Bible, the King James. But I did want it to go to where we didn't go on theory. And you think just, you know, just take it at word where they put scriptures out there for you to read, but they didn't read them all. I wanted you to actually hear from the Word of God what transpired. And so I know it's different, but I hope that it touched other people like it did me to know that God established promises even in the beginning. And so I think it's just such a great thing that we have a God who loves us and cares for us so much, His creation. So that's all I have, Starla.
Blog Talk Mom, do you have anything you want to share?
I think that is one of the most inspirational responses that Wild Bill has ever given, because that's the whole point, is from the beginning to the end, God has a promise. He has a pattern. He's not surprised. He's not caught off guard when something happens. He knows. And that's very beautiful, Wild Bill. I really, really appreciate that, because as we move into our lives every season, you know, the elders, the young mothers, I was speaking with a lady today, Sister Starla, that they're not really going to adopt, but they're trying to help children that, like foster care, and there's not enough people stepping up to do foster care because it's hurtful. You know, you can get really hurt and you fall in love with a child and you want to work and help that child, and then it doesn't work. You know, you can't keep them because of legalities and everything. But I thought, how wonderful that there are women, this particular woman, that's willing to put her heart right out there on the line because she loves the child and sees the need. And all the way through the Bible, you find stories. You've got Rahab. She was willing to step up and keep the ones that came in, protect them, so that she saved her whole family. And then as we go, you know, just you can go all the way through the Bible. One of the ladies that really has always stood out to me, and I use her life when I teach, is Hannah, because she was reproached. She was very, very hurt. She couldn't have a child, and she was misunderstood, even by the priest. She was misunderstood, everything about it. But when she brought it to God, when, like Wild Bill was saying, when you bring it to God, he's always there. Not sometimes, not maybe, but always he is there. And from that, Samuel was born. And then we know the great story of how what he gave back to the Lord and how he was used to the Lord. And I think of so many today when I was speaking to the lady, and I thought of Ruth had to leave her family, had to leave, you know, she'd had heartache and hardship, and she followed her mother-in-law, and it was the law then that they had to go into the field and they had to leave. For the servants and for the poor people, they couldn't glean all of the whatever was growing. They had to leave some. And I love the sermon I heard one time that they left her some on purpose. You know, that wasn't just her gleaning, but Ruth got some on purpose. And I'm so thankful for the time that I know that God gave me some special blessing on purpose to bring me through something, and I've seen it in other people's lives. He is such a wonderful, loving, good, caring, compassionate, faithful, just, peaceful. He is a wonderful God. And with women, especially when Christ, when he lived on the earth, he blew everybody away. You know, the Samaritan woman, he made a whole journey out of his way to be able to help that woman. And she was at a well. Nobody even had anything to do with Samaritans. You know, he revealed to her that she had five husbands, was living with someone she wasn't married to. But from that woman and her experience with Jesus Christ, she ran into the city and started a revival through her testimony. God can take any situation if we come face to face with him and make it our greatest testimony and use it. I didn't mean to just keep on talking, but I really, really appreciate Wild Bill for he was so anointed, everything he said. Thank you, Wild Bill.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom. Your song kind of kicked it off there, to say the least. I pulled up at the service station today, and I was sitting there, had the radio jamming up pretty loud, and this guy's like, "We don't want to hear that punk stuff." And all of a sudden, the words, something about God, come out. And he kind of cocked his head and listened. And I said, he says, "What is that?" And I said, "That's my 77-year-old mother." And he just cracked up laughing and says, "You're messing with me." I said, "No, I'm not."
It is fun. It's so much fun. I have had so much fun with it. And I was going to, I give it out, I keep them in the car, and then I pray and I ask God to lead me to different people. And there's some people I'm more comfortable with than others, and I just feel comfortable in it. But one group, at sometimes if they are they have a lot of piercings, you know, in their nose and lips and ears and eyelids and eyebrows, and I don't know. I don't know how to approach them. So the person I was moving to give one to just drove off, and I was just right face to face with this young man, and I asked him if he would take it. I asked people, please, it's free, but please don't throw it away. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I didn't have anything to listen to. I thought, thank you, Jesus. You're just so right on time, knows right where to place it. And it's been wonderful. It has been the greatest gift for me to be able to. I used to hand out tracts, you know, go in to knock on doors, do home Bible studies. But this is just the quickest way. I could just give somebody the CD, the album, and they got it. It's wild, isn't it, Wild Bill? Go along with
it. Is. I thought about today, I'd like to get the soundtrack from you and get with some of the kids at church and go through some of those to where they got their own little thing they can add. Because the kids, you know, young people, the rhythm of the world and every, you know, rhythms and timings of music and bass beat and things, those things are something that speaks to the inner person. And I must be, I don't know, I was thinking today, like, mom's inner child must be showing in all this. I thought, well, what am I talking about? I love it, too. So the louder I can play it, the more I like it. So anyway, I had a couple of songs stuck on repeat today, enough that I was getting where I could sing it with you on there. And I was just having a blast. But it didn't just speak to the beat, the words, the seed of the word, that powerful seed, what it does, it lifts you up. It takes you outside yourself to where all of a sudden you're more aware of what God's got going on around you, where it makes you do an inner look at yourself to see where you are in your relationship with God. And like you said, you can share a testimony, and that's powerful. And you can share a tract, you can do a Bible study. But God created people with a mind that can work. And he knows how to pull at the heartstrings. He knows how to get into the right files of our mind to where it speaks to each individual person where they live, the reality of where they live, not something fictional, not just like some storybook character, but living. I mean, in this day and time, you have ups and downs. You have sorrows. You have pains. All the things that go along with life, you have victories, you have, you know, blessings that come along with children, and then you have curses that come along with children, and, you know, all the back and forth and the yin and yang of everything that is life. But God is the one and only constant that I can go to, and it stabilizes me. It gives me a reference to let me know that I don't have to look at what's going on in Washington. I don't have to look at what's going on around the world as far as global warming, true or false, the different things with storms going on, the pollen count, the cancer count. I don't have to worry about any of those things because my stability is not in the things of this world. My comfort doesn't come from the things of this world. And this world ain't ever promised me anything. And God's given me promise after promise after promise. And how can you not love a God that's done that? And if you're not getting God's promises, then maybe you're in the wrong church. Maybe you don't have a real good connection to God. It'd be like trying to give someone a drink of water, and you're pouring it, and they're saying, well, I'm still thirsty. I'm not getting any. And they're plumb across the room. You got to come to where the water is. You got to come to where the flow is. You got to go to where there's interaction with people really having that connection with God. And I'm not going to say that churches don't have a connection with God, no matter what your faith or denomination, because God will come to you wherever you are. But that Holy Ghost that leads and guides you into all truth, in most situations, will not leave you where he found you. Matter of fact, I'll change it. God never, I don't care what church you go to, God never leaves you where he found you. It's always upward and forward in every aspect of your life. It don't matter if you were born in a Pentecostal church of what I feel is the correct, you know, church to go to. It don't matter if you were born there. When you have your personal relationship with God, it's going to be upward and forward from there. It don't matter what relationship that you thought you had through your parents, through your pastors, or your Sunday school teacher. It's that personal relationship and where it's all about. And that's one thing you could be a little envious of with Adam and Eve in the garden, because they had that and then they lost it. And so they knew the difference of what it was. But yet here, we're born lost and we can have it. We can have that personal connection with God. And it's just, I don't know. I know I'm rambling, saying a lot of the same things, but it just, I'm so encouraged when I look at this to realize that even in their dilemma, they had that promise. You know, no matter how bad things look, you got a promise of God. So I know I'm repeating myself, but it just, man, it's just so good. It gets gooder and gooder.
It does that. When she was mentioning shame, you know, we came into this world and we have shame and blame and pain. You know, that's women just, you know, the world, we have that. But like Wild Bill was saying, and you can't say it too many times, right there in Genesis 3:15, yeah, he's gonna bruise your heel, but you're gonna bruise that dude's head. You're gonna crush him. And the seed of a woman coming through Mary, and that is awesome, the way God just brought that whole thing together and wrapped himself in flesh and just defeated the enemy. And the enemy doesn't want us to really believe that. Like Wild Bill was saying, look to the promise for each thing every day. We receive that as we pray and we seek the face of God. We worship him. We had the most wonderful youth revival at our church. And this lady kept, you know, bringing out to the young people to come into the presence of God every day. And this little boy, I think he's about in the second or third grade, usually gets up on weekends and he'll listen to cartoons or whatever. And he said, no. He said, Grandma, put on gospel music. I want to pray. And, I mean, that's awesome. That is just beautiful. And I want to be that way. I want to get into the presence of God and seek him and ask him, Lord, what direction? Who should I speak to? And this, I've been witnessing to a lady for about 6 or 7 years, I guess, and she needed a ride today. And so while she was in the car, she needed a ride to get some stuff. And I put on the CD. And I said, well, you want to hear it? And she said, oh, yeah. So I put on the one, Ask, Seek, and Knock. And I mean, the Spirit of God came in that car, and she's going to church with me tomorrow night, first time. I mean, there is an anointing
awesome.
On this. Yes, it is. Sister Starla, it's just an anointing. I went into the pharmacy, and the man said his favorite one was ASK, which is an acronym for Ask, Seek, and Knock. I'm just amazed at what God is doing, at what he's done, and what he's going to continue to do. And I appreciate Wild Bill for playing it on the program. That's very thoughtful of him.
Well, next week we have an unusual pairing. We're going to do... hear about Hagar and Lot's wife. Now, that's a combination of two people you wouldn't normally hear together on the same show, but these are so short and everything that I was able to do that. And I just, I pray that it inspires something in you just like this did in me. But as you look at people that were real people that were going through real situations. And so I hope it, this inspires you as we do this again next week. So the next week you got a treat. You got two women. So,
well, both of them.
I'm
are
glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, Hagar. I mean, you can really feel a lot of compassion for both of those women, and so that will be interesting to hear. Instead, all of them. In fact, I mean, people have. You know, Lot's wife is sort of like Job's wife. Everybody wants to pick on her because she told Job to curse God and die. Well, you know, those her kids too. You know, that was her life too. that was being absolutely taken away. So let's have a little compassion on and not judge them quite so quick. That's another thing, too, is not to judge. The Lord has really dealt with me in my lessons lately. Do not judge. According to how you judge is how we will be judged. So the Lord said that we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. That's good, isn't it, Sister Starla?
It's very good.
Amen. And that is good.
And I'm working on it. You know, you got to have the seed, like Wild Bill said, then you got to water it with the Word and praise Him and worship Him. And He is such a powerful God and such an close God. One of the things this teacher brought out is we know that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. That means He's everywhere, knows everything, and all-powerful. But what He wants to do is manifest Himself to every individual that will reach out to Him and let Him fill them with His Spirit. And then they're the temple of God. And then when you can pray in that unction, you know, the anointing, as they did on the day of Pentecost. And we had young people. I mean, they were all across the front. They were speaking in tongues, interceding. It was just really, it has set my soul on fire. I really want to, she said, don't pray general prayers, you know, like, Lord, save our country. No, what does it take for God to do? Not that we have to give Him instruction, but we have to know what we're praying for. If no man can come to God unless God draws them, then in prayer, Lord, I'm calling on You to send that drawing power to my loved one and draw them to You today. You know, it feels different when you pray that way. Well, Bill, this was so good. I'm so surprised that you come up with such good programs. I don't mean that I'm surprised that but it's just, they're just excellent coming at it from different points. That sounded like an insult instead of a compliment, didn't it? I didn't mean it to be that way.
No.
My mom knows the evil that resides in my heart. She just can't forgive me.
True. I'm so proud of you. So proud and encouraged by you. When you have a child and you have family members that are living for the Lord, there's a strength in that you can't get any.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. That is so good. So good. Will it be next week? Are you going to, will it be about the same length? I mean, is what I was going to say.
Each one would be about the same length. I think they're about 12 minutes apiece or something like that. So
it's about just the length, it's going to be about 35 minutes. So
that sounds good. That so the whole program will be shorter because, you know, the time we talk and everything. But for me personally, when while Bill was talking about how we come to the Lord, and he knows that his dad and I were not going to church, and it was the one of the most memories, one of the sweetest, maybe amusing memories. I was praying, and I was wanting to live for God. I really, really wanted to turn my life around. And Jim was where he's a hard worker, and he was out working, and I was really mad at him. We'd had two or three disagreements, and I was sort of wanting God to probably not kill him, but at least beat him up real bad. And I didn't ever put that in words. I thought, you know, Lord, you know, you see, I mean, Henry, you know, hey, come here, you're working on my side. And I was just really, I mean, I was in that frame of mind. And so I'm praying and I'm crying. And I mean, I didn't hear an audible voice, but the Lord just as plain said, you need to apologize to your husband. And I thought, this has got to be wrong. I mean, it just, I could not believe that the Lord would impress them. And then he started giving me scriptures about submission and forgiveness, and kept, you know, started coming to my mind. About that time, Jim knocked on the door because I had him locked out, being the sweet person I was. And I went to the door, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and like, oh, boy, here we go again. And I said, Jim, the Lord just impressed on me to tell you I really am sorry for the way I've been acting. I would give, you talk about going viral and everything else, his sweet face, he looked like, wow, this is real. This
stuff. That's so funny.
It was so sweet. And that's what the promise is, while Bill kept, you weren't just repeating yourself, that it's the promise. You do what God tells you to do, and then he promises it will work. It not might work, but it will work. You humble yourself. You turn the other cheek. You watch how the Spirit of God will move in. Ooh, I feel the Lord on that one. That is so good. This is good, Wild Bill.
Amen. Wild Bill?
Does he have anything to say?
Nope. I pretty much just went through everything I had. So unless you got some callers, got a question or something, y'all can wrap her up when you're ready.
Rap? That was supposed to be funny,
Walt. That was funny.
When I tell people I'm a rapper, they think it's W-R-A-P-P-E-R, like a rap gifts or
oh,
something.
Oh, wow. I
it's
never
so
even cute. Thought of that.
Yeah, and then I'll say it 2-3 times. I really have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this gift that God has given. And it is anointed. And it really is. When you obey the Lord, He will do what he says he will do in every situation. The one song, Stand Up, I think would be a really good song for like a kid's drama type thing, to act it out, play it. You know, we did it one time at our church, and we had several children that were acting out like if they were cutting themselves or mad, you know, had their fists doubled up or crying or something, and they were just like in that position. And we were singing it, whatever, and then we had the armor of God, and then our kids with the armor of God went around and started praying for them, and they threw up their hands and started praising God. And it was real good because that we got to stand up for Jesus. Now, Hush, do you have somebody that's wanting to say something?
No, it's all you.
All me. Oh, something. Yeah, I'm just, while Bill playing my song just makes me so happy. Because I, you know, I don't promote it in that kind of way. And it just, I want people to hear what the Lord has done, especially on the lost sheep one. That seems to be most people's favorite. And I've done that one at churches. And this past, my pastor's 81 years old, and we celebrated her birthday, and they wanted me to rap. I couldn't believe it because we had guests. I mean, our church was packed, out-of-state people. And they just wouldn't let it go till I rapped. And one of the things that Sister Holland is noted for, that she's very patient, very, very kind, but if you just continue to do things that are not right when you go into counseling, she sort of looks over her glasses. She'll just sort of pull them down and just sort of look over them. And then if she takes them off, well, you really know you're in trouble. But I brought that in the rap, that as time passes, you don't forget. She'll look over those glasses, and you better pray. And little things like that. They were on their feet clapping, and I'd say, happy birthday, and they'd say, Sister Holland, the congregation would, in tune with the music. I told them that amen, I mean, the uh-huh is a hippie way to say amen. And they're saying, uh-huh.
Oh.
It's really. That's good. That is good. It is everything about Adam and Eve. If we go back, Sister Starla, to that right there, it has a solution, doesn't it? For whatever we're going through, whatever generation we're in, it's just right there. It's like Bob Bill said. It is so good. Well, I don't have a whole lot more I could say. So, Starla, you want to teach us something?
Well, I'm good. No.
I'll go back to what I said when we started it on how what a wonderful helper you are. You are a wonderful, wonderful helper.
Well, thank you. I guess that's my calling, being a helper. I don't know.
Well, help me. That was what he said.
God's been good to me.
Yes. You are a woman in God's own heart. Beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I always wanted to be like David.
What? That scripture?
Mm-hmm. A man after God's own heart.
Do all the listeners... You tore up my... I sent her a birthday present, a check, and she tore it up, y'all. Isn't that sweet? That's funny. She is a sweetheart. That is so sweet. I get even with you one of these days.
Well, I know you could use it. You're such a blessing to me and my family. Your prayers, I just can't imagine being without your prayers.
It's awesome for all of us to pray and join for protection, provision, and for that drawing that people in our family will want to be saved and want to serve God and glorify Him. We can't pray that too much. We cannot. There's so many sidetracks, that they can do. But I do appreciate the program, and I'm through.
That's good. Well, we want to thank everyone, all of our listeners, for listening to us every week. Those that are faithful, we appreciate it. And we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.